We warmly welcome you all in the precious name of the Lord, wishing one another God's blessing and a fresh encounter with God, that through His Word and His Spirit He might speak to us anew, revive His work, and enable us to draw fresh strength from His well. May I ask, who is here for the first time today? Please, just raise your hand briefly. Is there anyone? A very warm welcome. And we say it always and everywhere. The first time should not be the last time. The first time you may hear many new things, and it is only on subsequent visits that you can make sense of them. We are reminded here of a certain scripture: man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We shall read verses 3 and 4. Perhaps verses 5 and 6 as well. It won't take long. Deuteronomy 8, 3 to 6. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. The fear of God is the beginning of divine wisdom. I would like to read verses 45 and 46 from Deuteronomy 32. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. And then comes the verse: for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. How many passages one could read on this subject, and I believe that we have understood what this is all about. It is about God's Word, in which on the one hand the entire plan of salvation of our God is hidden, and on the other hand revealed. Many people have the Bible, millions have the Bible, but they have no revelation concerning God and God's Word. They form their own ideas about the Word and for the most part remain in them until the end of their lives. The grace that God bestows upon His own consists in coming to know Him and His plan for mankind, and in taking to heart the Word, as we have heard and read it, through revelation, and then, of course, in adding nothing to His Word, nor taking anything away from it, but simply leaving it as it is, and in the context in which God has placed it. We had a conversation here today with some brothers, and I believe that for all of us who are still here, one thing has become clear anew: to add nothing to the Word and take nothing away from it, but simply to leave everything as God has given it. But we also see that not everyone should presume to be a teacher. James writes, "We who teach will be judged more strictly." And I have here a quotation from Brother Branham from the two sermons on the introduction to the seals from the first sermon, God hiding Himself in simplicity. On page 15, he says the following: "Tonight, I want to speak about the connection between the last church age and the seal opening. Now, there is a vast gap in there. And before, when I ended up on the church ages, I also spoke there upon the 70 weeks of Daniel, immediately following it, cause it tied in. And I said, now, if I ever take the seven seals, I'll have to get rid of this Daniel's 70 weeks in order to tie in the seals, leaving one thing open, and that was the fifth chapter of the seven sealed book, and we'll take that tonight." One more paragraph. We are in teaching, and you can realize what a great strain it is on me. Because if I teach anything wrong, I'm going to have to answer for it. See? And so I must not take what anyone says. It must be inspired. And I believe that the seven angels who holds the seven thunders will grant it. For the sake of that last sentence, I have actually read everything I have read. It is indeed the case that some brothers, without wishing to pass judgment, they have not understood what Brother Branham said. And I would like to point this out. Brother Kupfer drew my attention to it. I wrote about it in the circular letter, December 1988. And I believe everyone can read it there very clearly. I might have a question. Are the things we set out in writing clear and understandable enough for everyone? Is that the case? I believe that anyone who has experienced God's grace and is led into all truth by the Spirit of God will have no difficulty following these explanations, because they are quite simply convincing on the basis of Scripture, speak for themselves, and provide insight into what we are setting out. I have noted down three of Brother Branham's sermons, namely the sermon to be ashamed of him, the sermon to do God a service, and the sermon events made clear by prophecy. I have taken just these three and looked up in them how Brother Branham refers to the seven angels who came down in the supernatural cloud on the 28th of February, 1963, when he was told, "Return to Jeffersonville, for the time to open the seven seals has come." And because such a mighty thunder resounded in seven stages when that happened, he repeatedly associated this event with angels and seven thunders. The brothers who are not careful and do not get to the bottom of the matter hear only seven thunders, and then they jump straight to Revelation 10 and start thundering without having the slightest idea of the context in which anything was said. And then Brother Branham says, the seven angels hold the mystery of the seven thunders, and then they jump straight back to Revelation 10 without realizing it has nothing to do with it. And I want to make this clear. We are simply here to agree with God only, not ourselves, not me, not you, only to agree with God. We have the right to do so, and God has it all the more. We simply have to realize that regarding the commission given to Brother Branham before the opening of the seals, Revelation 10 could not possibly have been fulfilled, for there the Lord comes as the angel of the covenant and already has the open book in his hand. Before the opening of the seals, he did not yet have a book in his hand, neither a sealed one nor an open one. One must also respect the chronology of Holy Scripture and understand the divine order in which things must unfold. Here Brother Branham says, then there remains Revelation chapter 5 with a sealed book. So, on that day, the 17th of March, when he began the series of sermons, the book was still sealed. In Revelation 10, it is opened, and there are not seven angels with an open book. There comes one Lord as the angel of the covenant with an open book, and he then sets his foot upon the land and upon the sea and proclaims that time shall be no more. I believe that this is very important, for as I have just said, in this place we have but a single task in the fear of God, to divide the word rightly and to agree with God in all things. And if, of course, everyone were to compare the contexts and the statements with one another and knew where they belong, then everything would be in order. But that is all I have to say on this subject, which has been touched upon a little today. I myself reproach myself for not having said enough. But, on the other hand, it is the case that Bible truths are not proclaimed in discussions, but in the sermon, not in debates, but through the open proclamation of the Word of God. And then may all hear, who have ears to hear, to what the Spirit says to the churches. In this passage from Revelation 10, I shall read just this one verse to show us that what was spoken or revealed was then sealed. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven, saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. I would like to clarify and conclude by saying, when Brother Branham speaks of the seven thunders and associates anything with them, he is referring to the experience, to the detonation. You all know, the tree tops were chopped off, the rocks shattered, the stones rolled down. It was a tremendous experience. The whole area was shaken by what happened there. And Brother Branham tapped the disc seven times in succession and said, in this way, the seven thunders sounded one after the other. Let me emphasize once more, these were not the seven thunders from Revelation chapter 10, but this happened in connection with that when the supernatural cloud appeared and he was given the commission to return to Jeffersonville to then speak about the seals. I feel I owe this to all of us. For one hears this and that, and then the question still arises as to whether we here at this place believe wholeheartedly in Brother Brennan's ministry, 100%. But just as much, 100%, we believe that we must bring everything he taught back to Scripture, and that we will seek and find our absolute here. That is what Brother Branham said. Brother Roos just mentioned it. He said, my absolute is the Word. And he held up the Bible as he said it. And we do the same here. But as I said, it really always comes down to not just listening to the music, but knowing what is being played, recognizing the connections. And for that, it will probably be necessary for God to sit in the church. Not that one takes on a task and says, what he can do, I can do too, and what he does, I'll do that as well. No, that must not be the case. One must simply be able to wait to be appointed by God when it comes to a task within the plan of salvation. And we believe that we are indeed taking part in the history of the plan of salvation. Yes, that we are part of it in these days. Just as Israel is part of the divine plan of salvation. After all, they are both. There is the church from the nations, and then there is the people of Israel, to whom God turned through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and subsequently through the 12 tribes, right up to our own time. And as regards current events, we have a few things to say on the matter. To do so, I would like to read from Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God is the God of his people, whether in the Old Covenant or the New Covenant. He has made a covenant, and he has committed himself, and he keeps what he has promised, and does what he has pledged. Here it says, the Lord is thy keeper, and the keeper of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. There is another scripture which also speaks of the Lord not sleeping, but watching over his word to fulfill it. So it is written in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Jeremiah 1, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God has indeed foretold everything through the mouths of his servants and prophets. Even what is happening in our own day has already been foretold in the Old and New Testament. The trials and hardships, especially for Israel, have indeed been foretold. And when we consider that even worse times are to come, as have already been, it saddens us on the one hand. Yet, on the other hand, we know that God has spoken it, and so it shall come to pass. When we look at the current state of the world, we see a great deal, and we can call out to one another what our Lord said in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. When you see all these things coming to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. And pray, perhaps I should even read this scripture, pray that you may receive strength to escape all these things. Very important, Luke 21, Luke 21, verses 35 and 36. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may receive strength to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So this is not merely about a day coming upon all mankind, but that believers should pray and be watchful so that they may receive the strength we need to escape all that is to come upon the earth. That is what should be our main concern. What good would it do if we could place everything concerning the Church, Israel, and the nations before that day comes, but had not previously received the strength that can bring about our bodily redemption and transformation, then it would become a knowledge that could turn into torment and also lead to disappointment. Let us pray even more earnestly than before, that God may grant us the strength we need to be caught up from this earth, to be transformed, so that we may then be with the Lord forever. We have mentioned it from time to time. Much is happening these days, and we notice that it is always directed against Israel. It cannot be otherwise, for so it was in the Old Testament, and so it will be until the final battle, when all the nations of the earth will gather against Jerusalem. There are a few scriptures we can read aloud concerning the scattering of the people of Israel and also the suffering inflicted upon this people. I shall read from Zechariah chapter 6, Zechariah chapter 6, the first 5 verses. Zechariah 6, 1 to 5. And I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came 4 chariots out from between 2 mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot black horses, and in the third chariot white horses, and in the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses, red, black, white, and pale, the 3 mixed together. 4 in total. What does that remind you of? The first 4 seals. 1 rider in white, red, black, and then comes pale, where these first 3 colors are mixed together. The following is then said about these riders and about these chariots and horses. We continue reading from verse 4. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the 4 winds of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. Let us just briefly note the phrase, the 4 winds. Let us turn to Revelation 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Revelation 7, verse 1. And after these things I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. We know that this has nothing to do with whether the wind is force 5 or 11 today. Here a prophetic statement is made about judgments. Here something is prophesied that has absolutely nothing to do with a normal blowing of the wind, but with judgments and so on. It is clearly stated in verses 2 and 3. I will read verse 3, saying, Heard not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
bezeichnet habe. Also,
so, no destruction may take place until the sealing has taken place. And now we come to the Euphrates, where all this is happening, and where Saddam Hussein is exercising his rule. Revelation chapter 9, verse 13, and perhaps verse 14. Revelation 9, verses 13 and 14. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. The following is happening in these days, where direct calamity lies, where deadly hatred against Israel is at home. There these bound spirits are already making themselves known, but they cannot yet carry out what they wish to do. Even a dog, whilst he is bound, he cannot yet do too much harm. So they remain bound until the day, until the hour, when the sixth angel will sound his trumpet. Before that, the calamity will not be able to come upon Israel. And look, what did we say from the very beginning, when this conflict began? Everyone was afraid that sea weapons would be used. The time for that has not yet come. They will only be used, according to Zechariah 12, in the final battle. Only then will people's eyes rot and fall out, and their tongues, and so on. Not now. And this will not happen to Israel, but to those who will attack Israel. So one must also read these things carefully to know what has been said in the word of prophecy. What troubles us greatly, we who hold German passports and are therefore of German nationality, is the fact that it was once again Germans who built these factories to produce the gas, to make big money. This saddens us immensely, for the memory is still vivid of how many Jews were gassed in the Third Reich and of all that happened. The whole world has rightly responded with outrage. We are in the midst of a country, but just like everyone else, we do not belong primarily to any earthly country. Rather, our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of God and members of God's household. And yet it saddens us to see what business people and companies are doing. On the other hand, we are all very grateful for what happened last week, that politicians have sided with Israel more than in any other country in the world, except America, and Germany second. We rejoice in this, for whoever blesses Israel will be blessed by God. I have a tract, The Pope and Arafat, which should give everyone pause for thought. Whether all of this is 100% accurate or not, one must simply leave it at that. It reads as follows. In the early 1940s, A young Polish sales representative was employed by the IG Farben chemical factory, the manufacturer of Cyclone B. Here is the full account that this man, who now rules in the Vatican, brought the poison to Auschwitz. I didn't write it. I was simply sent it. What else have we seen? We have also noted that the Jews are pleading and begging the Vatican to recognize them. Did you notice that too? They do not know what they are doing. On the other hand, the scripture must also be fulfilled in this, that a covenant will then be made. But when that is made, there will be a total of 7 years left, and those 7 years will be after the rapture. So how close must the rapture be then, when political developments are already taking shape before our very eyes? We can all see that very clearly, and it will come to pass. For it is not just Arafat who comes and goes at the popes. The highest dignitaries go there, whether Muslims, Hindus, or whoever they may be, they all come and go. What did we say? And what does God's word tell us? It is the great city which rules over the kings of the earth. And that is not New York, nor is it Moscow. They all have their own problems. Those who train their people, namely the Jesuits, here you can read how Jesuits are infiltrated into Jewish circles and everywhere to set the course, so to speak. People who are informed know what is going on. I say these things only to draw our attention to the fact that we have indeed entered the final epoch of our time. And the call, "Ye my people, come out of her, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing," must be made ever louder, ever clearer. And we need this information to know where the real danger lies, whether for the church or for Israel, so that we simply know where the arch enemy actually lies. This man did not, after all, take the office upon himself. He was placed there and must play a role that he perhaps did not even want. But so it was with Judas, so it was with others, who simply had a role to play that was somehow connected to the overall events and linked to them. There is one thing we must emphasize anew. The entire weight, religion, economy, world politics will be concentrated here in the newly emerging Europe under the treaties of Rome, with headquarters here and there. We need not always spell it out. This is where events will take their course. And so we can say with absolute certainty, as I hinted at earlier, that world politics is made precisely there. And a day will come when the Pope will simply obtain permission for the Jewish state to build their temple. Even today, people say it is the city of the three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And you know, when the threads come together like that, it will be a simple matter for him to say, "Listen, we are all brothers. Let us keep the peace with one another. The two holy sites of Islam are already there, so one more can be added. And I say this because it is written in Revelation 11, measure the temple of God and them that worship therein, but the court, do not measure it, for it is given unto the Gentiles. I read it to you. For how long? Here it's written, Revelation 11, verse 2. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. How long is 42 months? Exactly 3.5 years. Then the covenant will be broken. The 144,000 will recognize Christ as their Messiah and identify the Antichrist, who comes there to consecrate the temple and then sits down as if he were God with a white robe, who knows. And then the covenant will be broken. There I read a passage in the prophet Daniel that is very important in connection with when the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up. We read it in Daniel chapter 11, Daniel 11. And then in verse 32 comes this very important verse, Daniel 11, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. He will speak everyone's language. He can really speak over 50 languages. He will speak to the Muslims what sounds pleasing to their ears and to everyone else as well. Here it says, with flattering words, he will defile those who have rejected the covenant. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. This is really true now. If we are the people of the new covenant, let us take all the words of the covenant to heart and take them seriously. Let us not treat them lightly and say, huh, all people are believers and they all mean well and they are all Christians. No, let us not handle it that way, but quite simply give the word its due and follow in the footsteps of the Lord. In verse 33 it says, Daniel 11:33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Who are these wise ones? Surely only those to whom God has graciously given an understanding of Scripture and of the fulfillment of the word of prophecy. We too are still trying to bring many to their senses by proclaiming the Bible truths, which everyone is free to judge for themselves. I shall read it again in verse 33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil, many days. And so on. Then verse 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Back then it could be said, the appointed end times are still to come. Now they are here. We are living in the midst of the end times. And as we have often said, not merely at the beginning, but at the end of the end times. And we may thank God again and again that He has deemed us worthy to hear all these things that now matter, and to grant us the discernment by His grace. If we may mention once again here that it is by grace that we are also able to acknowledge the ministry of Brother Branham, to whom God revealed all the connections of the prophetic word. And in doing so, we are not paying homage to a man. We agree with God and thanking Him that we have experienced, just as in the days of Moses, when they were told, these are not meaningless words. No, they have meaning, binding upon you. Your life depends on them. The same is true in these days. Not old interpretations, but the Word of God, freshly revealed from the throne, alive. That makes the difference. That has become our life. Not the interpretations. For some, God's message is completely meaningless, and they do not even realize that they are speaking of the Holy Spirit whilst being swept along by the zeitgeist and the masses, of course, with all the pious facade. Let it be stated very clearly for once, whoever does not listen to what the Spirit is now saying to the churches and making known through prophetic revelation, whoever does not listen to Christ, who walks among the seven golden candlesticks, will have to listen to what the Antichrist presents, and people will not realize it, but will think that this is a very great thing. No, it is no great thing. It is the greatest deception and the hour of temptation that is to come upon the whole earth. Here is Christ, and there He is. And everyone wants to go to heaven. Everyone has but one God and one Father. It is written in my Bible that He is Father over all that is called children. And if we are children of God, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Who is a son and a daughter of God? The one who is born of God, who is born again unto a living hope. For in earthly terms, we are indeed born of the flesh, and as for flesh and blood, it cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No, we have been begotten and born again in the image of Jesus Christ from the Spirit and the seed of the Word of God. And so God is our Father. And we can pray honestly and sincerely, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. It is just so important to put these things in order. And whilst we are on the subject, let it be said once more, all those who mock us for being foolish enough to believe a man will have been deceived. We did not believe a man. We have merely recognized by grace that God has sent His servants at all times. And our Lord says, whoever hears you, hears me, and whoever receives you, receives me, and whoever receives me, receives the one who sent me. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when there is a divine sending and a divine commission, then we must show respect and listen to what God has to say to us through His messengers and His servants. In closing, a few words on the passage read to us. from the first epistle of John. How precious is every verse here, every utterance upon which one might pause. That which was from the beginning, say it yourself. Has any new revelation come in God's message? No. The ancient word, the mysteries hidden in the word have been revealed, but nothing has been added to Holy Scripture. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. There are so many scriptures that bear witness to this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He said, I have come that you might have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. He said, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, and his words will never return void, but will always accomplish what they have been sent to do. In these days, we have the privilege God has given us to hear the true word of God. For many, it may be new or strange, but here it is written, and blessed is the man who can agree with God inwardly. No one should think to themselves, I already know all these things, and perhaps even better. There is a word in the prophet Isaiah which says, you too knew nothing of this beforehand. We simply have to reach the point where we open ourselves up to receive what God has to give us. Let us summarize. The end times are here. They are drawing to a close. On the one hand, for the church from the nations, and then the phase for Israel begins. And as we said earlier, if all these things have now come to such a stage in Israel too, how near must the coming of the Lord be? We all know that time is running out. No one can say exactly how long it will take. Let us once again emphasize what we read in Luke 21, that we should earnestly and sincerely pray God to grant us the power that will transform our mortal bodies, the power of God, the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that transformed his body, his mortal body, into the resurrection body. May this divine quickening power be granted to us by grace, so that our mortal bodies too may be transformed and made alive, and we may then enter into glory together with those who have gone before us and will be the first to rise. May the Lord God grant us this by grace and bless us all as he has always done, and may he establish his word in us all and grant us the testimony through the Holy Spirit that here it is not one person teaching others, but that God teaches us through his word, through the revelation of the Spirit, according to the scripture, they shall all be taught by God, and no one shall need to teach another. Blessed and praised be the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us rise and give glory to the Lord. Lord our God, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together under the sound of your word. The word you address to us is not a meaningless word. No, it is God's binding word to his people, a word of covenant. Lord, we thank you for this, and we praise you. We wish to take in all the words from your mouth with all our hearts, and to live by them. May they be our spiritual food, a light on our path. May they be our guide. May they be everything to us. Lord, if thy word is no more valid, whereupon should my faith rest? I am not concerned with 1,000 worlds, but only try to do thy word the best. Lord, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you had a word prophet in our generation, a man of God, beloved Lord, through whom you could speak and by whom you put the Bible truths anew upon the lampstand. You have a people on earth. You have chosen ones who hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, be gracious to us. Have mercy on us. Continue to speak and work through your Holy Spirit, and grant us the strength to escape all that is about to come upon the world and to stand before you. Beloved Lord, together we bring before you all those who still struggle with themselves or with a word that is proclaimed. We bring them to you. Beloved Lord, take us into your care. Be gracious to us. Open our hearts and understanding, and anoint us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lead us into all truth. To you, the Almighty God, be praise and honor, glory and worship for all things, for the grace that you have saved us, for the blood of the new covenant that flowed on the cross of Calvary, for your word, for your Spirit. Work, O Lord, through your blood, through your word, and through your Holy Spirit, in your New Testament covenant people. Bless also your people Israel in a very special way. Grant grace that your will may be done in all things. Once again, we thank you for the great privilege of being able to recognize the signs of the times, to respect and receive the message and the messenger. We give thanks, O Lord. We give heartfelt thanks from our hearts and from all our mouths. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.